Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, zoonosis. Can we share colds and flu with our pets? Let's find out. Has your pet ever sneezed right in your face? Mine has. Recently, I suffered an unpleasant bout with a cold germ. My cat played nursemaid and stood by me while I was ill. It got me wondering if she could catch my cold or if I could catch one from her. Are colds and other illnesses zoonotic, transferable between animals and humans? Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine explains, zoonotic disease. What can I catch from my cat? What is zoonotic disease? Well, most feline infectious diseases affect only cats, and most human infectious diseases affect only humans. It is important to be aware that some of these diseases, called zoonotic diseases, can be transmitted between cats and people. You are much more likely to contract ailments from other humans than you are from your cat. However, simple precautions, common sense, and good hygiene, including careful handling of litter boxes and treating cats with fleas and other parasites, can further reduce the risk of zoonotic disease. How are zoonotic diseases transmitted? Transmission of zoonotic disease can potentially occur when a person comes into direct contact with secretions or excretions, such as saliva or feces, from an infected cat. Additionally, a disease may be contracted through contact with water or food that has been contaminated by an infected cat. Many zoonotic diseases can be transmitted from fleas or ticks, called vectors, to a person or a cat from another animal. Who is at risk? Most zoonotic diseases pose minimal threat. However, some humans are particularly at risk. Those with immature or weakened immune systems, such as infants, individuals with acquired immune deficiency syndrome or AIDS, the elderly, and people undergoing cancer therapy are more susceptible to zoonotic infections than others. What are some common zoonotic diseases? First, bacterial infections. Cat scratch disease, also called Bartonellosis, is by far the most common zoonotic disease associated with cats. Approximately 25,000 people are diagnosed every year in the United States. Cat scratch disease can occur when a person is bitten or scratched by an infected cat. Fleas may also play a role in the transmission of infection. People with cat scratch disease usually have swollen lymph nodes, especially around the head, neck, and upper limbs. They may also experience fever, headache, sore muscles and joints, fatigue, and poor appetite. Healthy adults generally recover with no lasting effects, but it may take several months for the disease to go away completely. People with compromised immune systems may suffer more severe, even fatal consequences. Some healthy cats are continuously or intermittently infected with cat scratch disease bacteria. But antibiotics do not reliably cure infection in these cats and are not currently recommended. However, avoiding scratches and bites, for example, by not allowing children to play roughly with cats, controlling fleas, and keeping cats indoors all reduce the risk of cat scratch disease. But most cases of cat scratch disease result from contact with kittens. Immunosuppressed people should avoid such contact. Salmonellosis, another common bacterial disease, can cause diarrhea, fever, and stomach pain beginning 1 to 3 days after infection. Salmonellosis usually resolves on its own. However, some people require medical attention because the diarrhea is severe or the infection is affecting other organs. People usually get salmonellosis by eating contaminated food, such as undercooked chicken or eggs. However, cats and other animals, even those that appear healthy, can carry and pass salmonella bacteria in their stool. Salmonella bacteria are more commonly harbored by cats that feed on raw meat or wild birds. Feline infection can be prevented by keeping cats indoors and feeding them cooked or commercially processed food. Human infection can be prevented by wearing gloves and washing hands thoroughly after cleaning litter boxes, especially if used by a cat with diarrhea. Second is parasitic infections. Fleas are the most common external parasite of cats. While fleas cannot thrive on humans, their bites can cause itching and inflammation. Fleas may also serve as vectors for cat scratch and other zoonotic diseases. Flea-infested cats may become infected with tapeworms from fleas ingested while grooming. Children, albeit rarely, can also become infected with tapeworms from inadvertently ingesting the fleas. Some feline intestinal parasites, including roundworms and hookworms, can also cause disease in people. Children are particularly at risk due to their higher likelihood of contact with contaminated soil. Visceral larva migraines, a potentially serious disease that can affect the eyes and other organs, results from inadvertent consumption of roundworm eggs, such as when soiled fingers are placed in the mouth. Cutaneous larva migraines, an itchy skin disease, is caused by contact with hookworm-contaminated soil. Proper hygiene, including washing hands before meals, cleaning soil from vegetables, and reducing exposure to cat feces, such as by covering children's sandboxes when not in use, can prevent infection. Anti-parasite medications for kittens and annual fecal exams for adult cats can reduce environmental contamination and the risk of human infection. Fungal infections. Ringworm is not caused by a worm at all. It is a skin infection caused by a group of fungi. Infected cats most often come from environments housing large numbers of animals. In cats, ringworm appears as a dry, gray, scaly patch on the skin. In humans, ringworm often appears as a round, red, itchy lesion with a ring of scale around the edge. Ringworm is transmitted by contact with an infected animal's skin or fur, either directly or from a contaminated environment. Infected cats continuously drop fungal spores from their skin and fur. Those spores, which remain capable of causing infection for many months, are difficult to eradicate from a household. Children are particularly at risk of infection. To reduce environmental contamination, confine infected cats to one room until they are free of infection. Then, thoroughly clean and disinfect the household. Protozoal infections. Protozoans are single-celled organisms. The three most common protozoal diseases in cats and humans are cryptosporidiosis, giardiasis, and toxoplasmosis. Cryptosporidiosis and giardiasis can cause diarrhea in both cats and people, who usually become infected by a common source, for example, contaminated water, not by each other. To prevent the spread of infection, schedule annual fecal examinations for your cats and medicate infected cats as directed by your veterinarian. Other preventive measures include wearing gloves while handling feces-contaminated material, washing hands afterward, and boiling or filtering any surface water used for drinking. Toxoplasmosis is caused by the parasitic protozoan Toxoplasma gondii. People with weakened immune systems or infants whose mothers are infected during pregnancy can develop severe illness. People commonly become infected by eating undercooked or raw meat or by inadvertently consuming contaminated soil on unwashed or undercooked vegetables. Unfortunately, pregnant women or immunosuppressed individuals are often mistakenly advised to remove cats from the household to reduce the risk of toxoplasmosis. However, people are highly unlikely to become infected from direct contact with their cats. Cats can become infected by eating infected rodents, birds, or anything contaminated with feces from another infected cat. An infected cat can shed the parasite in its feces for up to 2 weeks. The parasite must then mature for 1 to 5 days before it becomes capable of causing infection. However, it can persist in the environment for many months and continue to contaminate soil, water, gardens, sandboxes, or any place where an infected cat has defecated. Basic hygiene can prevent toxoplasmosis. Wear gloves when handling potentially contaminated material, for example, when gardening or handling raw meat, and be sure to wash your hands afterwards. Avoid eating undercooked meat and thoroughly wash fruit and vegetables before eating. Surface water should be boiled or filtered prior to drinking, and children's sandboxes should be covered when not in use to prevent wandering cats from using it for a litter box. Scoop litter boxes daily while wearing gloves and wash your hands afterwards. Pregnant women or immunosuppressed individuals are safest when other household members clean the litter box. And viral infections. Most viruses infect only their natural host species. Human viruses, like those that cause the common cold, infect only humans, while feline immunodeficiency virus, feline infectious peritonitis virus, and feline leukemia virus infect only cats. However, one virus that can be passed from cats to humans is rabies, a viral disease resulting from the bite of an infected animal. Cats are highly susceptible to rabies, which attacks the central nervous system, causing a variety of signs. Rabies is almost always fatal. In people, rabies infections usually occur when an infected animal bites a person. In order to protect human health, rabies vaccination of cats is required by law in many areas. Even if your cat is kept indoors, it is important to keep rabies vaccines current because cats occasionally escape outdoors and because rabid animals, such as bats and raccoons, occasionally enter houses. To further reduce the risk of rabies, avoid contact with wildlife and stray animals. See a doctor immediately if you have been bitten by an animal. For myself, a family of bats did enter my apartment by slipping under doors and gaps in windows, and my cat was very interested in investigating. I was glad that I kept her up to date with her vaccinations. Thankfully, the bats were relocated and we are all fine now. You can visit Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine at vet.cornell.edu. TheNest.com adds this about sharing colds with your pets in the article, Can Dogs and Cats Catch Human Colds or Viruses? Written by Nicholas D. Marino. Dogs, cats, and humans share a litany of cold symptoms. Stuffy noses and irritability for starters, but the underlying causes are usually alien. Pets and people can share a few viruses, but common cold culprits aren't typically among them. Some cold-like symptoms, though, may mask a transmissible illness. Catching colds. A variety of germs are responsible for the common cold in dogs and cats, just like in humans, but they're not the same viruses. Most respiratory infections, and most viruses for that matter, are species-specific. Many common dog colds come from canine flu viruses and Bordetella bacteria. Many common cat colds come from feline herpes and Khaleesi viruses and Bordetella bacteria. And many common human colds come from rhinovirus. When you catch a cold, you don't have to worry about getting your pet sick. A notable exception. Speaking broadly, many veterinarians know that dogs and cats can't catch human colds. The H1N1 outbreak of 2009, however, challenged that conventional wisdom when at least one cat and two ferrets apparently contracted swine flu from humans. In an article in the New York Times, Dr. Brett A. Sponseller said there's no evidence that transmission from cats to humans is likely, as afflicted cats don't cough or sneeze. Following the cat incident, Sponseller got several calls from concerned pet owners, according to the article, which suggested this wasn't the first ever case, just the first confirmed case. Muddier waters. While the germs that cause most colds and flus are species-specific, some that cause cold and flu-like symptoms are up for grabs. certain varieties of Streptococcus, which causes a sore throat, are infectious among dogs, cats, and humans. You may not know if your pets have it, though, as both cats and dogs can be carriers without exhibiting symptoms or infections. The vector direction of shared diseases is typically from pets to humans. Such diseases are called zoonoses and not the other way around. Concerning zoonoses, people usually contract zoonoses through contact with animal saliva or feces. Disease-carrying pets may not display symptoms or may simply be hosting relevant fleas, mites, and ticks. Common zoonotic diseases and parasites transmitted from dogs and cats to humans include rabies, ringworm, and intestinal parasites. Cat scratch fever, salmonellosis, roundworm, hookworm, and toxoplasmosis are other common examples. Infants, pregnant women, and people with compromised immune systems are at higher risk of contracting these diseases. And from Newsmax, Sylvia Booth Hubbard adds this. Other diseases you can pass along to your pet include mumps. Although rare, the mumps virus, caused by a virus that infects the salivary glands, can be transmitted to dogs. In dogs, the disease is called parotiditis. Also, salmonella. Salmonella is a bacterial disease that affects the intestinal tract, and humans are typically infected through contaminated water or food. Pets contract salmonella through the same means. And tuberculosis. A study published in the Journal of American Veterinary Medical Association found that an owner passed tuberculosis to the pet dog. And another study found that all dogs diagnosed with tuberculosis had contact with an infected person. Although cats can also catch tuberculosis from humans, it is extremely rare. And MRSA. Numerous cats and dogs have been diagnosed with methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, MRSA. A study at the University of Minnesota Veterinary Medical Center found that infected animals either had owners who worked in healthcare, had been hospitalized recently, or were caring for a family member who had been recently hospitalized. What about the flu? Oregon State University explains in a 2012 report, can you really give your dog or cat the flu? As flu season approaches, people who get sick may not realize they can pass the flu not only to other humans, but possibly to other animals, including pets such as cats, dogs, and ferrets. This concept, called reverse zoonosis, is still poorly understood, but has raised concern among some scientists and veterinarians who want to raise awareness and prevent further flu transmission to pets. About 80 to 100 million households in the United States have a cat or a dog. It's well known that new strains of influenza can evolve from animal populations, such as pigs and birds, and ultimately move into human populations, including the most recent influenza pandemic strain, H1N1. It's less appreciated. Experts say that humans appear to have passed the H1N1 flu to cats and other animals, some of which have died of respiratory illness. There are only a handful of known cases of this phenomenon, and the public health implications of reverse zoonosis of flu remain to be determined. But as a concern for veterinarians, it has raised troubling questions and so far, few answers. Veterinary researchers at Oregon State University and Iowa State University are working to find more cases of this type of disease transmission and better understand any risks they pose to people and pets. We worry a lot about zoonosis, the transmission of diseases from animals to people, said Christiane Lohr, an associate professor in the OSU College of Veterinary Medicine. But most people don't realize that humans can also pass diseases to animals. And this raises questions and concerns about mutations, new viral forms, and evolving diseases that may potentially be zoonotic. And of course, there is concern about the health of the animals. The researchers are surveying flu transmission to household cat and dog populations and suggest that people with influenza-like illnesses distance themselves from their pets. If a pet experiences respiratory disease or other illnesses following household exposure to someone with the influenza-like illness, the scientists encourage them to take the pet to a veterinarian for testing and treatment. The first recorded probable case of fatal human-to-cat transmission of the pandemic H1N1 flu virus occurred in Oregon in 2009, Laura said. Details were published in Veterinary Pathology, a professional journal. In that instance, a pet owner became severely ill with the flu and had to be hospitalized. While she was still in the hospital, her cat, an indoor cat with no exposure to other sick people, homes, or wildlife, also died of pneumonia caused by the H1N1 infection. Since then, researchers have identified a total of 13 cats and one dog with pandemic H1N1 infection in 2011 and 2012 that appeared to have come from humans. Pet ferrets have also been shown to be infected and some died. All of the animals' symptoms were similar to that of humans. They rapidly develop severe respiratory disease, stop eating, and some die. Serological studies suggest there is far more exposure to flu virus in cats and dogs than previously known. It's reasonable to assume there are many more cases of this than we know about, and we want to learn more, Laura said. Anytime you have infection of a virus into a new species, it's a concern, a black box of uncertainty. We don't know for sure what the implications might be, but we do think this deserves more attention. Natural and experimental transmission of the H3N2 influenza virus from dogs to cats in South Korea showed the potential for flu viruses to be transmitted among various animal species, Laura said. It's unknown if an infected cat or other pet could pass influenza back to humans. The primary concern in reverse zoonosis, as in evolving flu viruses in more traditional hosts such as birds and swine, is that in any new movement of a virus from one species to another, the virus might mutate into a more virulent, harmful, and easily transmissible form. All viruses can mutate, but the influenza virus raises special concern because it can change whole segments of its viral sequence fairly easily, Laura said. In terms of hosts and mutations, who's to say that the cat couldn't be the new pig? We'd just like to know more about this. Oregon and Iowa State University are doing ongoing research to predict, prevent, or curtail emergent events. And now, problems with your pet? Perhaps an animal psychic can help. This was written by Andrew Rhoda in the publication Petpalooza. He writes, a friend of mine purchased a new puppy about 6 months ago and began the long process of training and housebreaking him. He had followed tips from books, professional trainers, and other dog owners, but his dog was still having some serious behavioral problems. I suggested he take him to an animal psychic. Animal psychics or communicators are able to communicate with your pets telepathically in the same manner most psychics use to communicate with humans. You may be wishing you could talk to your pets to understand their obedience problems, why they always seem sad or aggressive, or even to learn more about health problems your animal might be experiencing that are not responding well to veterinary treatment. Or you may be wishing to speak to a deceased or missing pet. There are two types of animal communicators. Pet psychics for living animals. When an animal is misbehaving, he is not usually doing that just to spite you. There is generally a reason behind such behavior. While you may think that you understand your animal very well, there is a possibility that he doesn't understand you. Or he may be feeling unwell or be depressed about experiences in his life before he came into your care. Pet psychic Sonia Fitzpatrick talks about a dog whose deliberate accidents were directly linked to the dog's dislike for its owner's new boyfriend. Without an animal communicator, the owner never would have known the cause, and the battle between pet and owner could have gone on forever. If you're not fully convinced of the power of these communicators, you may want to listen to some remarkable, heartwarming stories from David Lewis, pet psychic, as he tells about his communications with all types of animals, from porcupines to horses, and of course, dogs and cats. David Lewis is able to communicate with just about any type of animal. He talks about a dog who only needed to know his owner loved him in order to pass his doggy boot camp field trials, and the story of how a miniature horse in captivity shared with David his dreams of living in a wide open field with other horses. Mediums for deceased and missing animals. Animal communicators are not only for the living. There are animal mediums out there as well who are able to cross over to the other side to speak with your deceased pet. Did your animal die without a chance for you to say goodbye? Do you have some unanswered questions you wish you could have known about your animal's life and feelings while it was living? Do you want to know why he was always so afraid of people, or answer any other strange behavioral issues your animal had? These communicators can help. David Lewis tells a remarkable story of how a deceased cat gave a message to her previous owner not to feel guilty about her death. This particular cat had awoken her owner by scratching at his bedroom door because there was a massive fire burning through the house. Her owner, a young teenager, had left his cigarettes burning when he went to bed, which caused the fire. He escaped through an upstairs window, but the cat was left to perish inside. The young boy had been carrying this guilt around for years, and this cat had contacted David Lewis so that David could let the young boy know that she was at peace with her death, that she considers it an excellent life lesson for the young boy, and he should not feel guilty anymore. Not all communicators deal with deceased, but the ones that do will often be able to help you find a missing pet as well. While psychics work off energies and auras, these mediums are able to reach further and therefore aid you in finding your lost animals. And that will do it for this episode of Pets Plus Us. Thanks for listening. And as always, be sure to spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for everyone. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.